Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. It's good to see all of you this morning and a blessing to be in worship with you. If you're visiting with us, we sure are glad you're here, and we hope that you find this time of worship with us spirit-filled and welcoming, and that you just find Asbury to be a friendly place. I have a few quick announcements before we get started. First of all, if you have a youth ages 7th through 12th grade that'll be going to Veritas, the registration is today. The cost on that is $110. It's February 28th to March 1st. So if you still need to pay that, see Diane today, and she will get that taken care of for you all and get your child registered for Veritas. The Youth Praise Band is having their practice today right after worship, and after worship, I mean after the late services. They'll be at noon in the warehouse. So if you have any youth that are musically inclined and would love to be part of that, they are welcome to come. If you yourself as an adult are musically inclined and you would love to come be part of that, just show up at the warehouse at noon and talk to Jennifer Schimmer, and she'd be happy to put you to work getting those kids coming together. It's really, really coming along nicely. We have two Bible study or study groups that are getting ready to fire up. This Wednesday morning, the Methodist men's group will be starting back up. That's at 6 a.m. in the large conference room. We're going to do a study on Daniel and the book of Revelation. So it's going to be a great time and a great way to start your work day. So come by and have some breakfast with us and a time of fellowship. We have a Bible study starting February 12th, which I know seems far away, but I promise you it's not. It's a study on the book of Romans. It's going to be 8 weeks long. It's going to start Wednesday night, February 12th. If you are interested in being part of that study, and I'd love to take that journey with you, we have signups in the Wilson Activity Center and in the Robert Moore Room where we have donuts. You can also contact Cheryl or myself at the office. A week from tomorrow, which is that first Monday in February, we'll need to order the participant books. So we'll probably close down the registration at that time, but if you're interested, please give us a call. So other than that, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let's stand and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Will you please join me in singing our hymn of praise, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, on page 384. Seated. We'd like for the children to come forward as we have our children's moments time.
Did y'all have a good week? Yeah. Good. I'm glad. Did any of y'all want it to snow this past week?
Yeah.
Amber Hoff and I were talking. If it was just 4 degrees cooler, it would have snowed. I have a question for y'all. In your school, do you ever have to read a certain amount of books? Like, do you, when I was in school, I had to read a certain amount, and then I took a test on them, and then I had to read a certain more. Do you have to do that in your school? That, okay, well, that's it. That's what I'm trying to get at, is that certain points. Well, this morning, Pastor Didi is going to be talking about good intentions. Do y'all know what intentions are? That's a kind of a big word. What do you think, Nathan?
What you're trying to do.
What you're trying to do. You're trying to reach a goal. Do we always reach our goals? No, we don't. Maybe we do, but sometimes we don't always. Just like, you know, if you want to run a 10K and you only get to 5K. Or you think that you have an intention of reading a certain amount of books over the summer and you only get to read it like 3 or 4. And so today we're talking about intentions, about what we want to do. Do you think that God is disappointed when we don't reach that goal? No, he's not. He's with us every step of the way. And he's helping us, and he's guiding us. And so I want you to think about that. Y'all are in school. Y'all have to get points. You have to read books or whatever. And you may even have goals at home. There may be a goal that you might want to do your new Lego craft, Star Wars, whatever, in a certain amount of time. But you don't reach that goal. We have goals at home. We have goals at school. We have goals even in everyday life. You know, we set new goals in the beginning of the year. And it's now the end, almost the end of January. And sometimes we don't reach that. But that's okay. Because you know what? We have God with us. And God is loving us. And he's with us every step of the way. And so what we do is we just set new goals. And new ideas of what we want to do. So think about that as you go through school and you go through your week and you go through just everyday life. Just remember that just because you didn't reach that goal, it's okay. We're going to reach new goals. We have new intentions. And just know that God is with you as he's doing it. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. And we thank you that, you know, we don't always have good intentions, and sometimes those good intentions we just don't always reach. But we know that when we reach that next goal or that next intention, that you are with us, and you are guiding us, and you are loving us. We ask this all in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Pray. Loving God, your love lifts us up. Your love sustains us. Your love enables us to know you and to seek you and to find you. Indeed, your love is everything. And as we come before you this morning with our hands held out, sometimes to offer you praise and thanksgiving, sometimes to offer you up the deep stuff of our lives, sometimes open and empty, ready to receive, we give you thanks, for you do receive us, and you receive what we offer, whether it comes from the fullness of our lives or the emptiness that is within. Today, we lift up to you those who are troubled in any way, those who grieve, those who are ill, those who are anxiously awaiting news of any kind, a medical test or a letter to arrive, the results of an effort made in reconciliation. Lord, it could be anything, but we pray for those who await anxiously that you might give them peace. And more than peace, you would heal those wounded places in their lives and build them up so that whatever the news brings, they will face it with courage and hope and even joy. We are mindful this day, O God, of the troubles that are in our nation and in the world. We continue to pray for our leaders and ask that wisdom would prevail over partisanship. We pray for clear-headedness and discernment. We pray for peace in those places racked by constant violence. And we pray for all aid workers and first responders in places that have been devastated by both natural and human-made disaster. Lord, we pray for our earth, for healing. And we also pray for ourselves, that you would guide us so to care about the future that we would indeed be willing to make sacrifices in the present. And God, today as we come together, we pray for our church, for the United Methodist Church, as we move forward toward yet another general conference. And for our local church, our family here at Asbury. God, you know the challenges that we are facing, many and most of them not made by our own decisions and actions, but made by a change in culture and a movement of our society away from you. Lord, help us to know how to reach out. Give us the words to say and the witness to make that will cause people to want to know you. And as they want to know you, they would want to know us as well. God, make us so loving that we become irresistible, because we look like and act like our Savior. For it is in his name that we pray as he taught us today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude and with generous hearts, we have the opportunity this morning to offer our tithes and offerings for the work of God in and through this congregation. So let us pray. Oh God, may love be our motivation. Love of you, love of the world, love that we have experienced because of your great ministry and work in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, inspire us, fill us with trust, and help us to know that what we give will become part of the work of the kingdom that you are making even now among us. Amen.
May be seated. Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Corinthians 13. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it's located on page 878. If I could speak with all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, as in a cloudy mirror. But then we will know everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete. But then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. These things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Will you stand as you're able for our hymn of meditation, The Gift of Love, on page 408.
May be seated. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, and you can find it on page 854 of your pew Bible. We have an excerpt here of Paul before the Emperor Agrippa. Suddenly, Festus shouted, "Paul, you are insane. Too much study has made you crazy." Anybody ever thought about that? But Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is the sober truth, and King Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Agrippa interrupted him. Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly? Paul replied, whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains. Then the king, the governor, Bernice, and all the others stood and left. And as they went out, they talked it over and agreed, this man hasn't done anything to deserve death or imprisonment. And Agrippa said to Festus, he could have been set free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, where I grew up, Christians never smoked inside the church, but beer and wine were available in the fellowship hall for special occasions. When I went to seminary, I was introduced to ashtrays in the fellowship hall. It was North Carolina, Duke Divinity School. But alcohol was strictly off limits for anyone who wanted to be known as a Christian. And for many of you, I've heard stories about the good old days when teenagers would go to the Methodist church basement to dance, knowing full well that Methodists were going straight to, well, but surely a dance on Friday night would not be enough to send the offender there so long as they were back in their family's pew in another denomination on Sunday morning, right? Such are the dilemmas faced by what John Wesley called the almost Christian, a person who has good intentions toward God, but they stop at the don'ts. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't be proud, don't be mean. Their testimony could be summed up by the old rhyme, I don't cuss and I don't chew and I don't run with people who do. These almost Christians believe that as long as they don't violate the prohibitions, they will make God happy and they will be saved. Another group of almost Christians approach faith from the opposite side of this dilemma. They are good people who do good things. They drop a little money in the offering plate every week. They clean out their pantries at least once a year and bring the barely expired canned goods, especially hominy, to the food pantry. These Christians might even volunteer at the church when it's convenient. They are basically good-hearted and nominally committed to Christ. The goal is to be good enough, just good enough, to get to heaven. Then there are the Christians who want to go further. They often are the first ones to sign up for Bible study. They cook for the youth group. They volunteer for vacation Bible school. They promise to pray for the sick and grieving, and they do. And they sincerely believe that all the things are what being a Christian is about. But they, too, are only almost Christians because they have confused the means of grace with grace itself. All they're doing is aimed at making themselves more acceptable and appealing to God. They're still not depending on God, but rather on themselves and their good works. They are the most almost Christian we can know. And if we're honest, we may know many of them. By now, you may be wondering, well, how do you get beyond being an almost Christian? If it's not about avoiding the don'ts or doing the do's, what is being a Christian all about? Mr. Wesley, how do we become what you call an altogether Christian? Well, Kenda Creasy Dean, a theologian who writes particularly about youth, recently wrote a book called The Almost Christian. In it, she describes the average American Christian's faith as something called moralistic, therapeutic deism. I'll say that again so you can kind of get it in your head. Moralistic, therapeutic deism. She says, we use the language of faith, but focus on ourselves. We try to be nice, but the real goal is feeling good about ourselves. Most of us have a vague notion that in order to feel really good about ourselves, we have to depend on some higher power, a deity out there who will help us succeed. Creasy Dean says that many of America's largest congregations preach this watered-down gospel that focuses on self-preservation rather than self-giving. The good news for them is self-esteem, but it leaves the us almost Christian with an inconsequential faith. Creasy Dean says that we can change, that we can become altogether Christians. But first we have to have an experience of God that allows us to talk about our beliefs in a personal and heartfelt way. We also need to be part of a community of faith where people are willing to discuss the real issues of faith and life together. We must also see ourselves as called, both lay and clergy, called to live for the sake of others rather than just for ourselves. And finally, she says that we need to understand that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves, a story that catches us all up. A story, an identity, a future that is being guided by God. Now, when I read those four characteristics, I thought about Asbury and how deeply committed this church is to making altogether Christians. Around here, it's not uncommon to hear folks give a testimony about the way that God is at work in their lives. Most of you are part of Sunday school classes where faith is discussed, service is required, and even more, life is lived together. We're a church that has ministries that are connected to Asbury, but include people from outside in the community that are aimed at speaking the gospel clearly and sharing the good news and helping others come to faith. And finally, at Asbury, we share a story together. We're convinced that God has put us here on this hill, and we're committed to following God wherever we are led, even if that means making sacrifices to get there. In other words, the more I thought about Almost Christians, the more inspired I became, because no one is stuck being an almost Christian. Almost, you see, is just part of the journey to being altogether. Now, John Wesley struggled with his faith for years. Many of you have heard his story. In fact, after he received his degree from Oxford, was ordained a priest, made a missionary journey to the Americas, and endured a time of deep despair, he finally began to grow through being an almost Christian to becoming an altogether Christian. It happened for Wesley on Aldersgate Street when he heard a message and suddenly felt God stir in his heart and in his life. And for the first time, he realized that salvation, Christ's death and resurrection, was for him. Not just this vague idea of being for the world, but for him personally. He had been saved by Christ. He was a child of God. And that experience transformed him. Now know this. John Wesley had begun the Methodist movement before that experience. He had diligently read his Bible. He had fasted. He had prayed. He had served the poor and been obedient to his call. John Wesley was scrupulous about the rites of the church, and he made sure to follow every rubric in the ritual. And then he felt the love of God, and his life was turned upside down, and even better, inside out. Love. Love transformed John Wesley's life. And he would go on to preach that love is at the heart of true religion. Love is the point of faith. Love, not doctrine, not creed, not style of worship, not the do's and the don'ts. Because apart from the heart, there can never be an altogether anything. Because true faith, it's personal. It is a personal relationship with God who loves us through death into new life. We can't get there by being right or by right practice or by right belief. We can only get there when we receive the gift of God's love that overwhelms our hearts and purifies our lives and leads us to love in return. An altogether Christian, Wesley says, is one who is grounded, no, deeply rooted in knowing God's love and loving God in return. An altogether Christian spends time discovering how much love expands our heart and minds, and what love can do through us for others. For an altogether Christian, there is very little difference between loving God and loving neighbor. You want to know what an altogether Christian looks like? Well, here's a pretty good description. An altogether Christian is patient and kind. She is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. He does not demand his own way. She is not irritable. He keeps no record of being wrong. And altogether, Christian does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Altogether, Christians never give up, never lose faith, are always hopeful, and endure through every circumstance. If that sounds familiar, that is also the description of love that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13. You can replace it with Christian, or even better, try it with your own name. This is the faith that God wants you to have. This is the gift that God wants to give you. Love. Love that assures you of your identity as a child of God. Love that sets your worth. Sets your worth as one worth dying for. Love that becomes a basis of trust that God will take care of you. Love that gives you courage and hope. And best of all, love that spills out of you onto others so that you find joy as you see love flow through you on its way to someone else. Love. Love is the difference between being almost and altogether. My friends, seek love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please join me with the affirmation from Romans, which is printed in your bulletin. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
No.
In all these things,
we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The gift of love is what God wants you to have. Imagine simply accepting that life, that love, that forgiveness, that freedom that is yours through Jesus Christ. And if you've already accepted that, imagine living more deeply and fully in it so that all is joy and possibility and hope. That is our invitation today. That could be a part of your prayer at your seats or here at the chancel rail. That could be what leads you down the center aisle to unite with this church, or even better, make a commitment or a fresh commitment to Jesus Christ to simply seek love. And when you find it, to be open to it so that you can share it with others. Let us join together now and sing our closing hymn, take my life and let it be. Brothers and sisters, as we go forth from this place to love God and to serve our neighbor, remember this: your heart is the throne of God. Your heart is the throne of God. He dwells within you and empowers you and blesses you. And so may you live out of that truth, with joy. Amen.